It's Friday. It's Mark Pyers.
Real talk. I was walking down the road today, looking for another way
to ease my mind
and help my living.
It's Real Talk. It's the Daily Variety Show, Mark Pyers Real Talk. I'm here to help you make smarter moves, to amplify your current state. And I'm here with you on Friday, day 403 in a row of the Real Talk program. And we're here to get down, okay? We're here to get into a few topics. We're going to talk about some news. I'm going to play some music on that beautiful thing over there, the Beat Seat. And Dr. Evil's back. That's all I'll say. You guys saw the first episode of Dr. Evil versus Trump. Well, they're back at it for round two. And I hope you're ready for it because it's going to be a pretty funny one. I'm going to play you the first one and then I'll play you the second one just so you have a feel of the entire part one, part two. It's a saga. It's a saga. So anyway, I'm with you. I hope you guys are doing well. We're going to recap a little. Day 403. I mean, there's a lot to go over, guys. And I got a couple of cool real estate stories for you here. And just want to share again about this spring market we're going in. When you are looking to list, when you're looking to buy, send your referrals into the Real Talk program. I will route them to somebody around the country. And if you are local to Connecticut or New York, I will be the guy in the car showing your friends or you property. We're going to Real Talk while we're out there. And to me, I think that's the coolest thing is, you know what I'm doing. I've been here for 403 coming out and just letting the spirit of the universe speak. And when I'm with my clients, that's exactly what's going on as well. We're getting into it. We're looking at what's really there. Scratching the surface, you know, to find exactly what they really need. And that's a process. Don't think you're just going to go out there and find that perfect property day one. You're looking for someone you can enjoy spending the time with, getting some knowledge from, and making a wise decision while you're with. So again, when I say to you, I'm here to help you make smarter moves, that came about because as a real estate agent, I thought it was kind of a funny thing to say, a punny thing to say. I'm a realtor. I'm here to help you make smarter moves. Wherever you're going, the Real Talk program's here to help you. Now, within the process, you start to uncover maybe your true meaning, your true purpose, right? I heard something great today. It said, when you know what you're doing is that thing, you know, there's all these people out here trying to tell you how to find that thing. I don't know how you find it. I just tell you you have to keep searching within. And if you show up with me on this program daily, I'm pretty sure we're going to build some energy. It's going to help you get closer to it. And there's something to live for. Don't ever forget that, guys. Nandel's on with me right now. And we're here Friday. Look, when I get this song going, this is me singing in 2006.
There's something to die for, yeah.
We got to get Zabrowski's scream here. You guys ready for the scream? This is the energy we need at every moment.
Woohoo!
That's it right there, guys. That's what life is about. Life is about a woohoo. That is where every sense of happiness derives from, that right there. Woohoo! You can't find a negative piece of anything within a woohoo. I defy you to find a piece of negativity within someone's woohoo. I dare you. You can't. That's why I'm saying it's impossible. So look, let's get into some news. Or do you want to see this? Look, I think it's about time we debut the brand new Dr. Evil clip. Are you guys ready for this? Let me see if I can get everybody on Facebook on. Okay, here we go. Are we live? Yes. Wait a second. Oh, that's already showing. So I got a Facebook page for my other channel, for my other show that nobody knows about. I'm not promoting it at all. I'm not promoting this other show I started. But it's hilarious, guys. And let me just quickly get you to my profile so I can make sure if anybody's on with me, they're able to see this at the same time. Here we go. Hold on. Here we go. I'm just going to go in here and then just push the volume off. Okay, there we go. Just in case anybody tunes in. Want to make sure you know about this ridiculous thing I just completed for part two. So let's play part one, just so you guys have a feel, okay? Here we go. This is part one. I did this a week ago.
This is Dr. Evil. I have a proposal for you. You have 24 hours to pay me $10 billion, or I will strike every major city with our hypersonic laser. What say you? Well, the United States of Trump does not negotiate with terrorists. I'm sorry, Dr. Evil. Do you have another proposal? Maybe I can buy the laser from you. How about that? Huh? Trump will buy it from you. But that's not on the table. I'm freaking Dr. Evil. Dr. Evil. Obviously, you've never read The Art of the Deal by yours truly. Trump always wins. Big league. Buy the laser. That's it. Or you can laser your eyebrows off. Whatever. I don't really care. And I win big league. Read The Art of the Deal. Call me back. Bye. I don't agree. Hello? Did he just... He just hung up on Dr. Evil. He just hung up on me. What the...
So that was the first... That was the first one that I did. And I just like the... You know, this is the obviously the beginning of something, right? I mean, when you see that, that's the beginning of something. This one came to my email just a little while ago. I got to just play it for you guys. Check this out.
Dr. Evil, Donald Trump is on the line for you.
Thank you, number two. I'll take the call in my secret lair. Donald, glad to get you back on the line.
Dr. Evil.
Yeah, I read your crap book.
Oh, you did? I thought you'd go audiobook. I didn't know you knew how to read.
Of course I know how to freaking read. I'm Dr. Evil. You can get my book. It's on Amazon, or it's in Mentor Box, too. Unlike your crap book, that's why I read every single page.
Oh, you did? Did you read Chapter 13? The Power of the Hang-Up? Did you?
No, I did not read that section in The Art of the Deal. I did not... What? Hello? He did it to me again, didn't he, number two? Son of a bitch!
He keeps hanging up on Dr. Evil. He's hanging up on Dr. Evil. I feel bad for Dr. Evil at this point. I mean, he's just trying to get $10 billion for his hypersonic laser. And, you know, Trump keeps just giving him the old, you know, the Heisman, you know.
Oh, Dr. Evil, no, I'm sorry. I do not negotiate with terrorists.
Hypersonic laser. Come on, guys, really? Look, it's Friday. I want to break through this negativity of the world, and I'm bringing you everything now. I'm here to inspire you, to motivate you, but also to make you laugh, to smile, and say, geez, that was a pretty good impression. I grew up doing impressions. Why would I not incorporate that into the show? You know, I saw something recently that I think I told you guys this. I saw this one in the 90s when it was out, the Howard Stern movie. Anybody ever seen this movie? Now, whether you like Howard Stern or not, I remember as someone in high school and college, I used to listen to him. And I saw the movie when he came out with the movie, and I was always like, wow, that was cool, he did a movie. But for some reason, it was on a couple weeks ago, and I happened to catch this movie. And within there, I saw a couple of things that I just grabbed onto, and I'm like, you know what, this should help me within my process. And one of those things was, it was just like a... off-the-cuff comment that went out the window. Most people who watched the movie were probably like, whatever, you know, it's Howard Stern. But he said he was on the air. He was doing this. He's pushing. He's like, I had zero listeners. This is what I thought was very interesting. He said, I had zero listeners. And the people that did listen would call and tell me how much I sucked. And I think about that for a second, because I say to you guys, when you're trying to reach a group of people and they don't even know you exist yet, and the ones that do are such a small group, you can't take that to heart. You can't let it take you down and stop you from your mission, your goal. Currently, we know this is factual. There's about 5,000 people on this planet that know about Mark Pyre's Real Talk. 5,000. There's 7 billion people. So I'm tackling something that doesn't exist yet. I'm reaching a group that's so small, and I'm trying to get bigger with that, right? But because of the base that we're in, you got to take it as like a grain of salt. You know, I got my buddy Jeff's on, Michael's on, and Nandel's on. Like, if they were all like, hey, I hate this show, this is terrible, you should stop, Mark, I'd be like, great, guys, you're three people and there's 7 billion. I have to hear from all 6,999,000,000, whatever the heck the number is, guys, okay? Until I know that the world knows the show exists, I can't stop. And then I have this sneaking suspicion that once the world does know it exists, that's when the true work begins. That's when we're actually together as a whole. We're connected on a global basis. Because what makes it great right now is if I happen to walk down the street and run into Jeff, or I run into Cross, who's on right now on YouTube, or Michael, immediately there's a conversation that takes place. Hey, I caught that show the other day. That was so cool. And I told a friend of mine. There's a connection between us, and I hope you join. I hope you join in, because I'll tell you what, I haven't run into Michael yet since I worked with him at the old firm. I haven't met Cross yet. I haven't had a chance to meet Jeff yet. I haven't had a chance to meet any of the amazing people who show up every single day and join me. But I love you all. You guys are what make this experience what it is. And you help me as I drive through on a daily basis. I had a new listener the other day said, I don't even know how you come up with it. How do you come up with this much content? Every day you do an hour? So yeah, sometimes I do an hour and a half. But you know what? I'm not trying to do an hour and a half. I'm just coming out here and an hour and a half goes by. You know? Like, I love it. I love being out here with you. And what I heard today was an internal smile takes place. When you uncover that thing, whatever, there's no way to say what it is. Is it an essence? Is it your inspiration? Is it your intuition? No one knows what exactly it's called, that unique genius. I call it unique genius. We all have, one of us have, we have like one, at least one thing each. It's something uniquely designed to us. DNA, it's like within us. To me, I feel like it's that.
And Dr. Evil.
No! We already did
Donald.
That. All right, I can't say it again. But it's these things that are mine. Even this. Yeah, this is me too.
Dr. Evil.
Like this is, it's all, that's part of my unique thing, okay? That I can do any impression. That I can create music in real time. And that I can talk in real time and let everything come out because it's just truth. I really feel like when you live truth, it comes out of you. It's out of every piece of you. You don't know how to be any different. And it takes some of us more time than others to get there. What are you guys up to this Friday? Let's get to some news. I got another show to do after this. I told you, you guys need to start doing some research and figure out what's going on. Because obviously all of this comedy stuff is coming from somewhere. I'm just saying. Anyway, let's get going. I got some news here for you that I think was pretty interesting. I guess. Did you guys hear about this? Shaquille O'Neal. Where is it? Yeah, here we go. Shaquille O'Neal tries to sell his Bell Canyon mansion on Instagram for $2.5 million. Shaquille O'Neal is trying to unload his home in an unconventional way. It's not good for us realtors, I'll tell you that. I mean, but when you're Shaquille O'Neal, you could try stuff like this and probably be successful. Retired basketball player, 47, Shaquille O'Neal announced that he was selling his mansion, the Bell Canyon, in Los Angeles on Monday, sharing the house's real estate listing along with a video tour of the luxurious residence. I'm selling my home in Bell Canyon, California, he wrote in the caption. It's so funny, I was trying to do an impression of Shaquille earlier. I was just going to do... I was going to do an impression of Shaquille walking you through the house, which I'm going to show you in a little bit. So anyway, let me see what else we got. Standing at 5,217 square feet on an acre of land, the property boasts 5 bedrooms and 4.5 bathrooms and 37-foot ceilings. No, I'm just kidding. He's like 7'1". Anyway, let me see. I'm seeing a text message come through right now. While I'm on Real Talk, it's hard for me to focus on 98 things at once. The former star added the kitchen includes marble countertops, custom cabinetry, and stainless steel appliances. The first floor has a family room, a dining room, wine closet, wet bar, media room, laundry room, office, and a bedroom as well. And the upstairs has a master bedroom. And three additional bedrooms. It looks really nice, guys. Looks like a very nice house. I'm sure he wouldn't live in anything that wasn't beautiful, and it is beautiful. I gotta say, it's only how much? 2.5, and like it should be like a nice part of Los Angeles. I thought it was a lot more expensive than this. Maybe it's not in the best area or something, but it's beautiful. There's no reason why it should be selling for 2.5. Built in 1990, the house was bought by O'Neill for $1,815 in 2018. So I guess he maybe did the work, or maybe he didn't do the work. He paid $1,815, so he's trying to make some profit on this. You know, you're worth like $500 million, dude. You can sell it for market value, I'm just saying. What else we got here? This is another story I wanted to share with you guys. Did you see this? It's another story about a piece of real estate. Race driver Lewis Hamilton lists his $52 million Tribeca penthouse. I don't know who this guy is. Turning back is going to stop you from growing. That's absolutely right. Cross knows. Failure leads you to success. Here we go. Even though he never actually lived there, Formula One race driver Lewis Hamilton is hoping to offload his stunning Tribeca penthouse. The six-time world champion. He's a world champion six times. Never even heard the guy because I don't know anything about racing. Yeah, I'm going to go and watch that. Like, I've heard it's really exciting, actually, to be in there and to feel all that horsepower. But on TV, I'm sorry, nothing interesting about that. Just as interesting as me watching somebody, you know, paint a house. Like, ooh, his arms are moving quickly. Anyway, the expansive home is located in a star-studded Tribeca building that celebs like Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds, Harry Styles, and Bella Hadid in The Weeknd all call home. According to the listing, the unit is the largest penthouse loft in the building, measuring at 8,908 square feet, with an additional 3,426 and the outdoor space on a rooftop terrace. That sounds pretty insane, guys. 20-foot ceilings, Shaquille could fit. And let me see, there's an impressive great room that has 20-foot ceilings. Okay, so that was where Shaquille would probably stay. Up on the floating wooden staircase is the second floor, where the home's five ensuite bedrooms are located, including the master, which boasts its own gas fireplace, an exquisite window dressing room. Who wants a window dressing room? Hey, look at me while I take off all my clothes. I'll tell you something crazy. I stayed in the city once when I was like 21 or 22, and I could see out the window, and I saw people getting it on. I was with some, we're like, look at those people getting it on right there. Like, they were getting it on. Windows open, voyeur style. I don't know if they knew that they were doing it or what, but that was like, whoa, wait a second. I don't see any like, oh, we have frosted glass on the outside. They should get the frosted glass thing. I'm just saying. So anyway, if you're looking for a $52 million penthouse in New York City, call the Real Talk team. I'll set you up. Okay, I actually have my New York license now, so I could take you down there and actually show you this thing. It's not that far away. New York is an hour away from me. It's 49 minutes away if I drive. I'm just saying. And we can go and see anything you want in the city. Cross, keep that in mind. Any friends out there want to see anything, you just let me know. And if I can't go, I'll get someone from the Real Talk team to come out there and give you the Real Talk. What's Real Talk, Mark? It's telling people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Everybody wants to hear stuff. I can't tell them that. No, I got to tell you what you need to hear, because that's the only way you get what you need in life. I'm not going to send you down that way to only find out halfway. What am I doing? Where am I going? What am I spending my... You know what I'm saying? Give it to people straight. That's all we got to all do. All the time, give it to them straight. What do we got here? This one's kind of creepy, guys. This is a Connecticut story. I had to lay it in here because I'm in Connecticut. True story. True story. The ghost in my house caused my parents' divorce. This is like one of my favorite things ever. I can't wait to read this story for you guys because I love haunted stuff. This is from House Beautiful. Not such a beautiful house. that shot doesn't look very beautiful. I'm just saying. So check this out. Growing up, I'd heard mutterings from my grandparents and parents of a man my family fondly referred to as the Captain. Yes, the Captain. He was a captain in the Panama Canal, and he loved cars, my grandfather recalls, half laughing through his words, as if he knew the Southern ship captain and previous owner and builder of my childhood home personally. But he didn't. The Captain, as everyone in my family had known to come to know him, was the name of the spirit we'd suspected of sharing our family home with. From what I've gathered from online documents, original blueprints of the house, and accounts from my grandparents, the Captain, otherwise known as Cap, Captain Howarth, okay, this is Captain Howarth V. Rowe, was a World War I veteran and senior pilot in the Panama Canal Marine Division. Throughout the course of 1938, Rowe, with the help of an Italian stonemason, built a home in a small town on the shoreline of Connecticut. That home would later become my childhood home, and we would only assume to be the final resting place for Rowe's soul, the Captain. So how did you know or come to notice the Captain? It started with little things. When my grandparents first purchased the home, in the late 1970s, they used it primarily as a weekend house, since both of them worked in New York City during the week. But every time they came home, something was off. Picture frames would be slightly off kilter. TVs would be, that they were sure they'd turned off, would be booming throughout the house. And ordinary objects would be left in not-so-ordinary places. These minor yet strange happenings were what prompted my grandmother to suspect that something paranormal might be at play, ultimately fueling the family legend that we come to know as the Captain. For years, my family attributed everything odd that happened in the house to our family household ghost. Missing a pair of keys? The Captain probably moved them. Another picture frame came off the wall again. Well, the most likely was the Captain. It wasn't until I was older and my grandparents had sold the house to my parents that I started to notice more than trivial ghostly inconveniences that my perception of the Captain started to shift from a kind lost spirit to something more sinister. You know that feeling you get when someone is watching you? Well, I always had that feeling at my home. I'd often turn around and feel that sensation of eyes burning at the back of my head. I'm getting shivers. Thinking that my mom had walked into my room and I hadn't noticed. More often than not, though, I got to put in something creepy here. Hold on a second, guys. We need some music here. This is just not working. I mean, it's working, but this is better. Check this out. This is it. There we go. More often than not, I felt it impossible than ever to be alone in that house. The nighttime was the worst. I'd lay in bed under the covers trying to force my heavy eyes asleep. While the intense feeling felt like someone was in my room, it made it nearly impossible. For a while, I could convince myself that I was just being a coward, and that many others, I was scared of the dark. It wasn't until one night when I awoke suddenly around 3 a.m., to feel a pile of bricks on my chest that I knew I hadn't been a coward at all. I still remember the feeling of trying to scream but not being able to. The intense feeling of someone holding me down coupled with an abstract face that I saw taunting me from above. It's a memory burned into my brain. From that point on, I paid little more attention to the Captain. Sometimes in middle school, I took an interest in all the spooky things. I binged 2020 documentaries, binging on everything I could, reading the world's strangest conspiracy theories, and most notably, I had an appetite for the paranormal. I loved watching ghost shows. My best friend and I could spend hours watching Ghost Adventures. By the way, if you're going to watch a ghost show, it's Ghost Hunters. Don't watch Ghost Adventures. That's the worst. Worst show ever. So, let's see. Try not to think about the Captain as much as the rest of my middle school and into high school. I chalked it up to experiences as one of those little childhood pranks or whatever. The summer between my freshman and sophomore year, I studied abroad in France. And shortly into my visit, I introduced my host mom's mother. Wait, what the heck was this? Oh, her response was, "You have a spirit in your house." All right, this is bringing other people in. This is going to turn into like a 90-page story. Let me move forward here, okay, guys? At the end of our visit, she took me by the shoulders one more time and handed me a bundle of sage. "I had a feeling that I would need to bring this with me today," she said. She advised me to say a prayer, light the sage, and wave it through my house. This, she claims, would help the captain move on. So I listened to her a few days after returning from France. I walked around the house with a burning stick and hoping that the woman had been right. Turns out she had been. The day after I smudged the house, one of my childhood friends came over. As she walked in, she looked around cautiously and asked if I had done something to the house. Confused, I asked her what she meant. She went on to tell me that for years she had seen dark shadows floating around my house. And like me, she always felt she was being watched when no one was around. She explained that she could feel an energy shift whenever she would come over, and that for the first time, she didn't feel that anymore. From that point on, nothing strange has happened at my house. So basically, haunted house, she got rid of it with sage. So if you ever need to get rid of a haunted house, use some sage. Last story I want to share with you guys. This is kind of a cool story about not giving up. Here we go. Phil Mickelson. Did you guys hear about this? He won't accept an exemption for the U.S. Open. I want to tell you why he's doing this, okay, if you guys haven't seen this yet. So Phil Mickelson has not qualified yet for the U.S. Open, and he came out famously and just said, look, if I don't get there on my own, I'm not taking an exemption. In the past, they say that's, you know, Ernie Els has taken one the last 2 years, Jack Nicklaus took 8 of them. So he'd obviously get one, but he won't take it. But there's a reason, okay? He said, I won't accept it. So I'm either going to get there on my own or I'll have to try to qualify. I'm not going to take a special exemption. And then they said, why not? I don't want a special exemption. I think I'll get in the tournament. If I get in, I deserve to be there. If I don't, I don't. I don't want a sympathy spot. If I'm good enough to make it and qualify, then I earn my spot. So he's doing this for a reason. Because if you tell yourself, you know what, worst case scenario, I'll take this special exemption, you'll never get there. But if he says, I'll never take the special exemption, I'm going to earn it, he's going to go and earn it. And that's what it's about. You got to go out there and put it all on the table in order to get the result you're looking for. He's not willing to take the special exemption because that will take him out of that perspective of actually doing something. You know what I mean? Getting it done. It's easy to just say, you know what, in 6 months, I'll just take the special exemption. I'm not saying that that's what Ernie Els did, but it's easy to do that. Bob, that wasn't nice. My brother Michael, how are you, buddy? So let's see. I'm going to play you guys a little song on the beat seat, and then I got to head over and rock out my other show for you. Like I said, if you guys have not seen the other show yet, you're missing out. The other show is basically comedy. It's basically me doing, you know, you saw. I don't know if you guys saw. I'm going to play both bits for you again. We have a saga going on right now. It's Dr. Evil versus Donald Trump. This was the first bit. Check this out.
This is Dr. Evil. I have a proposal for you. You have 24 hours to pay me $10 billion, or I will strike every major city with our hypersonic laser. What say you?
Well, the United States of Trump does not negotiate with terrorists. I'm sorry, Dr. Evil. Do you have another proposal? Maybe I can buy the laser from you. How about that? Huh? Trump will buy it from you.
But that's not on the table. I'm freaking Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil. Obviously, you've never read The Art of the Deal by yours truly. Trump always wins. Big league. I'll buy the laser. That's it. Or you can laser your eyebrows off. Whatever. I don't really care. And I win big league. Read The Art of the Deal. Call me back. Bye.
I don't agree. Hello? Did he just... He just hung up on Dr. Evil. He just hung up on me. What the...
So that's part one. And then, so basically what we have now is part two coming at you, which you need to just get the full breadth of what's happening here, right? Here we go. Part two.
Dr. Evil, Donald Trump is on the line for you.
Thank you, number two. I'll take the call in my secret lair. Donald, glad to get you back on the line.
Dr. Evil.
Yeah, I read your crap book.
Oh, you did? I thought you'd go audiobook. I didn't know you knew how to read.
Of course I know how to freaking read. I'm Dr. Evil. You can get my book. It's on Amazon, or it's in Mentor Box, too. Unlike your crap book, that's why I read every single page.
Oh, you did? Did you read Chapter 13, The Power of the Hang-Up? Did you?
No, I did not read that section in The Art of the Deal. I did not... What? Hello? He did it to me again, didn't he, number two? Son of a bitch!
So that's what we got going on. That's part two. What's coming next? I have no idea. But each week we're going to be dropping some new stuff for you. And you know, every day we're dropping a new movie for you. But it's all part of this other show, okay? Yeah, I had to put number two in there. That's right, I forgot about that. So we have, obviously, you've got Robert Wagner in there as well. And, you know, that's not the best impression, but still, Dr. Evil. That's kind of what he says, Dr. Evil. Son of a... Yeah, I think that's the running joke. Every single bit, Trump's going to hang up on him. And then he's going to be like, did you read the Art of the Deal? Oh, you did? Okay, did you hear the one about the hang-up? No, I did not hear it about... Hello? Hello? Son of a... You know, it's just always going to be that goofy gag. Until I can do true face swaps. Like, there is this thing called deep fakes that I'm now understanding. And I have the software, but honestly, I just don't have time for that. If it's easy, which there was... The other day, I did something, a trial of it. And it's more like you just do a couple things, then you have to leave it alone for like a day and your computer just does work. So it may be actually the same amount of work as if I'm doing these little 1 minute clips that I'm knocking out for you. And I just have to leave it for a day to actually do the back end work. Because I'll tell you what, some of the stuff looks insane. Like I could actually be Trump. Instead of having my mouth, it would actually be me and I'd be moving and everything. I'd be like, oh, Dr. Evil. And then Dr. Evil, same thing. You'd be like, President Trump, I went to see if $10 billion. And then I'd be like, Dr. Evil, I did not negotiate with terrorists. And you'd see my hands and everything instead of just seeing the facce there doing it. So listen, guys, there's another show coming at you very soon. Very, very soon. I hope you'll join me for it. And if you want to know what it is, send me a DM. Right now, we're keeping them apart, but very soon, and without me giving you any warning, you're just going to be introduced to my second character. He's coming at you. And when he does, everything's going to change. When Facce arrives, it's a wrap. Because Facce doesn't play around. That's all I'm saying. Facce does not play around. Like, seriously, he's running for president. That's all I'm saying. He's running for president in 2020. I'm going to bring him out one day. I may bring him out like very soon. You guys have no idea. I'm getting amped about bringing Facce out. But Facce is the reason that all these little clips are taking place. All right? That's the reason. That's why it's happening. So let's do this. I'm going to get us back to circle here. Yeah, we're good. I'm going to get this thing going. You guys want to hear a little music? I'm ready for it. Cross, you ready for a little music? Alrighty, let's get some music going here. How about that? It's Friday. We're not doing a Friday Night Live, so this is it. Let's get a couple songs in right now. What do you say? Thank you.
that, mama, baby. Any way you do, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right now, mama. Any way you do. Well, mama, she don't hold me. Papa done taught me to. Son, that girl you fooling with, she ain't no good for you. Well, that's alright. That's alright. Well, that's alright now, mama. Anyway you do.
Different way of playing it. I don't think I've ever played it like that before. Was that all right?
someone save me. It's all I've ever known or seen on my TV and in all the magazines. They tell us what to do, you know, they tell us what to think. How much longer must I force myself to conform to their rules? I question that opens up when I see how could we fight when we can kill with kindness. Why do we hate when we can try and make a change? Days will go by, but I'm missing all the fun. Days will go by. Days will go by. Yes, I'm missing all the fun. No, no, not at all. No. Differences dissolve within the public stance. Think we all should get a chance. State our name and plead our case. I've lost the one ability which came to me so naturally. Within this death of clarity, hope to find that moral victory. Hope to find that moral victory. Days will go by. Days will go by. Missing all the fun. Days will go by. Na 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 na.
That's a song I wrote many years ago, guys. Real talk. Real talk. Did you hear that chorus? Did you hear that hook?
There's way too many differences dissolved within the public stance. I think we all should get a chance to state our name and plead our case. I've lost the one ability which came to me so naturally. Within this depth of clarity, hope to find that moral victory. Days will go by. It's all I've ever known or seen on my TV and in all the magazines. Oh, they tell us what to do, you know, they tell us what to think. How much longer must I force myself to conform to their rules? My questions bubble up and I scream, why must we fight when we can kill with kindness? And why do we hate when we can try and make a change?
Why do we hate when we can try and make a change? Came out of this mind like 13 years ago. But it's real talk. Everything that I've written comes back to be what we're talking about today in 2020. I need more volume here. I'm not hearing anything. I don't know why. Is this even on? Do you guys hear anything? I didn't hear the guitar properly on that at all. That's terrible. So you just got to hear it once through that whole verse, unless you did. I don't know. But maybe if you didn't, it's still beautiful. You need to hear it anyway. Someone's alarm going off up in the parking lot. How cool is that? I played in the beat. So anyway, now the guitar's back on. Sorry about that. You missed that whole song. I mean, it sounded probably decent, but it didn't sound right. Play something else of mine, okay? So I walk along this road, this path that you have made. And though the fog was settling, the wind began to rain. Reflecting thoughts of innocence, no reason to complain. So maybe things will open up, sleep in peace, the thoughts of me and you. Oh, and this love will guide us through the nights. Our hearts, love burns deeper, love, deeper love. My heart seems to grow. I'm with you. All my troubles seem down to my grave. Repeating the same old songs and words. Come on, soothe my soul. Oh, I pray, love. Well, won't you tap my hand? Outline something new. Maybe things will open up. Sleep in peace, the thoughts of me and you. Love will guide us through the nights. Our hearts, love burns deeper, love, deeper love. My heart seems to grow. I'm with you. I'm with you. On with me. Anybody on? Cross. Oh, Cassandra, thank you so much. my people over on Ted, my buddy Ted's on. So look, let's see where we are. It's only been on for 50 minutes. So if you guys are okay with it, I'll go back and play you another one. How's the music sounding? Is it is the mix okay? Let's see. We should be okay. The mix should be fine. Let's go back and play you another song. I need a sip of some beverage, though. Give me a sec here. All right, here we go. I'm coming back. All right, what do we got? Play this. I don't know if I can remember it. I'll try to play a little slower because that's really upbeat. Thank you. I don't know how to play that. I used to play it years ago. Play you guys one more song here. I maybe coming to an end over on Insta. So what we'll do, just because we're used to doing this, is the final song. We're gonna rock out a little Ray Charles for you. You know what? If you're on Insta right now, go over to YouTube. The show is gonna go. All right, just at least two songs. I'm playing one original and then Hit the Road, Jack. Can't end on two covers. Sorry. I'm a singer-songwriter. I play my own music, okay? And then we do Hit the Road, Jack at the end, because that is a great song. You can't come up with a new Hit the Road, Jack. It's been done. And it well, very well, by Ray Charles. All right, what do we got? What do we got? Let me see what I feel like playing for you. Improvise a song off of a song I already wrote called Pinot Grigio. So if you like wine, this is a song for you. I really only have a chorus for the wine song Pinot Grigio. The rest of it's just improvisation, but the wine part is pretty funny. I'll get to it in a second. It goes like this. Friday, I was on Real Talk, playing a out of tune guitar. Here on Real Talk, no Friday night show today. Until tomorrow, Saturday night love. Here we go. Come on. Why drink red? Why drink rosé? Why drink Cabernet Sauvignon? Cabernet Sauvignon? Cabernet Sauvignon? Cabernet Sauvignon? Cabernet Sauvignon? Can drink Pinot Grigio. Pinot Grigio. And to verse two, we change the rhythm a little bit. Cabernet Sauvignon! Cabernet Sauvignon! When you can drink Pinot Grigio. Pinot Grigio. Why drink red? Why drink rosé? Why drink Cabernet Sauvignon? Cabernet Sauvignon? Cabernet Sauvignon? Cabernet Sauvignon? Pinot Grigio. Oh, I used to love playing that song. I don't even know how I could do that. I just made it up one day. Because again, we just make up songs. I mean, throughout my career as a musician, I would be making up songs. I'd be friends at friends' houses, at parties. And I'd see, I never drank Pinot Grigio in my life. Okay? Never. But I saw a bottle of Pinot Grigio while I had a guitar in my hand, and the end is this. Why drink rosé? Why drink Cabernet Sauvignon? Cabernet Sauvignon! I always love that word, Sauvignon. It just needs to be in a song. Why drink rosé? Why drink Cabernet Sauvignon? Cabernet Sauvignon! Cabernet Sauvignon! Cabernet Sauvignon! That should be an Adam Sandler part. Pinot Grigio. So that's it. And I think the Adam Sandler part needs to go in. I don't know if you guys agree, but let's finish this puppy up.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. No more. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. Oh yeah, I'll say it a little bit, baby. Don't you treat me this way. I'll be back out on my feet someday. It don't matter if you do, cause it's understood. You ain't got no money, you just ain't no good. Well, I guess if you say so, cause you back my veins. And go hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. No, no. Whoa, hit the road, Jack. It's how you come back no more. Well, don't you come back.
Until tomorrow for Saturday Night Live. I'm going to be live with you around 10:30 tomorrow night for at least an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. It depends on how we're feeling, how the music is going. But I'll be back with you. I'll see you tomorrow. It's Mark Pyers, and it is... It's real talk. And I'm going back over there. I may say goodbye still. That's how we end it usually, right? What are we at? Where are we at? Okay, let's see. I'm sharing that. We're good to go. So listen, I totally appreciate you guys. It is 7:30 right now. I got to get ready for my other show. So anybody who knows about that show, tune in. Send me a DM if you want to know what that show is, if you're looking to laugh, if you're looking to be just feeling a little better than you are right now. I'm still going live. Got to do about 20 minutes over there. That's a once a week thing, guys. It's not every day like I do Real Talk. And it's just to try to reach a piece of the world that I can't reach with real talk. There are people that are just negative, and I have to try to reach them. Like, it looks like there was a guy on today who was probably a negative guy. And the only way to reach those people is to bring in this other content. So I'll be doing that. Like I said, the global initiative is to reach everybody. I got to try to reach them all. I can't do that with one form. I have to hit them with all different types of content. And I'm realizing this more and more. Again, follow your intuition, guys. That's what life is about. I will see you tomorrow on the next Real Talk. Send me some DMs. Guys, head over to YouTube, subscribe, and ding the bell. That's where the show goes. So much better than just watching it on a screen. I'll see you tomorrow. It's Real Talk.